Father, we love you and we thank you for the moving of your presence in this place. God, we want to know you. We don't want to live in the shallow end of the relationship with you. God, we recognize this morning that you're calling all of us deeper in relationship with you than we've ever been before. God, I pray over this congregation that there would be a holy discontentment in our lives. God, that the pursuits of our heart would not be what this world offers us. God, that money, that material things, that pleasures that are ever fleeting, God, that the desires for those things would become less and less. And Lord, the desire for you to know you, to experience you, to follow you, to please you, to be consumed by you, God, that would be the identifying marker of our lives, that we would live with a holy discontentment. God, where what I desire, what keeps me up at night, what pushes me, what prods me, it's not what this world can give me, that it would be you and you alone. Lord, I pray that we would lose sleep over our desire for your word and your spirit. God, I pray that our appetite for food would decrease because we're so hungry for you. That's what we want, Lord. God, I can't even make myself want you. God, I have to, and let me say that to you, Lifehouse. You can't make yourself want God. You can't make yourself hunger and thirst after him. Even my desire for the Lord is a work of his grace in my life. Even my desire for him, it's not by my works, it's by his work in me. So maybe that even needs to be your prayer this morning. Maybe as I'm talking about this, you're being honest with yourself and you're saying, Drew, I wish I wanted the Lord the way you're talking about it, but if I'm being honest with you, I just don't. And let me tell you something, that's okay. It's okay because you realize it. And so, Father, I pray that we would, our hearts would be even transformed, Lord, that our desires would be changed and that we would want you, that we would want to desire you, and that, God, that you, through the working of your grace, would begin even that transformation in our hearts. God, that holy discontentment, I can't produce that on my own, but, Lord, you can give it to me. You can give it to us. And, God, I pray that you would begin placing that in every heart, in every life, in every family. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Come on, Lifehouse, can you one more time celebrate the Lord? Amen. Come on, let's do just a little better. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is and is to come, the eternal one who never began and he will never end. He always reigns. He always is in charge. Worthy, worthy. Praise God. Hey, before you find a seat, I want you to find 5 or 6 dozen people. Give them a high five. Wish them happy Mother's Day. Tell them you're glad to see them in church today. You guys see these nice, new, pretty chairs? So as they're setting them up, I didn't feel like standing to preach today. I didn't even feel like sitting. I was just going to lay out across all these. Yeah, does that look good? So let me tell you, these chairs, they're nice. Yeah. But they've also been one of the biggest headaches I've had in the last year. So we ordered these chairs mid-February. We ordered 300 of them. By the way, if you want to buy your chair, that's still a thing. You've already bought your chair and you're like, hey, where's my chair at? Sorry. We're trying. It's not a, yeah. But if you do want to buy your chair, it's about $115. So feel free to do that. But either way, we expected these chairs to be here mid-March. Well, it's May 11th. They actually did come. They sent us a few, but they're wrong. They're not right. They don't have the thing that hooks to each other, which is, you know, when you buy church chairs, it's kind of an important deal. So we had a shipment of 288 come after Easter, even though they're supposed to be here before Easter. And we had to send them back because they weren't right. But in Jesus' name, look at your neighbor and say, in Jesus' name, we are, come on, we're declaring this. We're believing God for this. In Jesus' name, they are on a truck. They're actually in Knoxville right now. Yeah, 288 that have the hooks on them that look just like this. And they are going to be delivered this Tuesday. Again, look at your neighbor and say, in Jesus' name. Believing those things that are not as though they were. Come on, that's scripture right there, right? Come on, if he can raise the dead, he can bring us some chairs in Jesus' name. And so here's our ask. And when this service is over, I know it's Mother's Day and you may have plans and you may be trying to get out of here, and I respect that. But if you are at all able, you know where this is going. You know where this is going. If you are at all able, here is our ask when service ends, is that you would take these chairs and stack them in stacks on top of each other. Unstuff them first. Why don't you should probably just have done this. She's going to later. Okay, happy Mother's Day. Please don't be mad at me. I'm wearing this shirt for you, okay? You go to Old Navy and you bring this home and I have to wear it. This is what happens. Still beats that Easter shirt, though. Amen. So, again, as I was saying before I was so politely interrupted, when service is over, if you will unstuff the chairs, stack them in stacks of six chairs. There's about 220 chairs in here. So if we have six chairs stacked in with six on top, that would be 36 trips to the other building to go put these chairs over there. So if you were at all able to help after this service is over, unstuff the chairs, stack them six high, and then if 36 of us can take them over there, that's one trip per person. That's not too bad, right? Okay, maybe it is. Maybe it is. And we do have dollies to help, so you know you're not just carrying them. But that is the plan after. And if you can't stay, maybe you've got to get out of here. We understand. It's Mother's Day. This wasn't our plan. It just happened to us. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we wanted it. We're supposed to have these like March 20th, okay? So I hope you can, but if you can't, we completely understand. No pressure, no harm, no foul. But with all that being said, how many of you glad you came to church today? Yeah. So we have an incredibly special treat for you today at Lifehouse. I'm not preaching. There you go. You're welcome. Yeah. That's what. Put your hand in celebration down back there, bro. But in all sincerity, we have a beautiful treat for you today. My wife, Kristen, if you want to go ahead and come to the platform, she is going to. Yeah. Along with a few other amazing women of God, they're going to minister to you today, and I believe you're going to be blessed. You're going to feel the presence of the Lord, and you're going to leave this place encouraged because of what God does here today. Can you give it up for my wife, Kristen?
Thank you, thank you. Man, it's already been a day, right? I'm so glad that you chose to be here today. So it's finally my turn to say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the moms in the room, the grandmas, the spiritual moms, the fun aunts, All right. Happy Mother's Day. I know that there's a lot of emotions that can be tied to Mother's Day. Maybe your mom's no longer with us. Maybe you have a prodigal child, one that you raised in church, you raised loving Jesus, and they are running from the Father. Maybe you have a longing to be a mother and you've yet to hold that baby in your arms. Maybe you are in the thick of raising children and it is tough. Whatever your case may be, whatever your situation may be, I believe that today is going to be a day of encouragement. I hope we're going to have some fun, but I cannot guarantee there will not be a few tears shed. So if my ladies will come on up, Denora, Sherry, Stacy, and Monica, give them a hand. Super excited to hear from them today. In the end of September last year, we took our whole staff to a retreat to retreat in a cabin, and we planned the rest of 2024 and 2025. Unbeknownst to us, in 2 weeks, the shift happened. And a lot of those plans got thrown out the window. But we did at that retreat discuss doing a panel for Mother's Day. And we were super excited about the possibility of that. As it got closer this year, our staff meets every week and we sat in a room and we threw out names, we discussed names, and we picked some ladies that we thought would be a good representation for you guys. And the first four that I asked all said yes, some more reluctantly than others, but they still said yes. And so we're super excited about this. A couple of things that I want to happen today out of this panel is I want you to get to know some other moms at Lifehouse and hear more of their story. The ladies behind me have incredible stories to share, and I'm super excited about you hearing them. And secondly, I want you to feel like you're not alone on this journey of motherhood, no matter where you are. And then lastly, I want you to know that you are loved and you are seen by a good father who wants only the best things for you and your children. All right, Dawn, you can be seated. Everybody give Dawn a hand. Let's get this party started. All right. All right, so I'm just going to start. I'm going to give a quick introduction about myself in case you do not know me. My name is Kristen. I'm Drew's wife. I am the mother to three beautiful little girls, 12, 11, and almost 6. I do work full-time here at the church, as well as we homeschool our two oldest children, and then our youngest, Magnolia, is in public school in kindergarten. So that's kind of just a quick synopsis of where I land. And so then, Monica, go ahead.
I am Monica Wooden, and I have been with Lifehouse for approximately 2 years. I'm fortunate enough to be married to my high school sweetheart. I have two children, but I also have children that are children of my heart that I've been able to speak into their lives. So.
Hello. I'm Sherry Eubanks, and we've been coming here, I think 12 years, is that correct? 12 years, I have three amazing children, Sierra, Alyssa, and Benjamin, and that's all I got. I do work outside of the house.
I just wanted you to know, stay-at-home moms versus...
No, I don't stay at home.
She's very busy.
I would want to,
she's very busy.
Well, hello everybody. I'm Stacy Tanner. A little feedback. Okay. I am a mother to one son, that beautiful boy right behind Paul. Wave, Aiden, because he loves that. I planned that. He's a college-age student at Lee University. I'm currently an empty nester, but I have raised him as a single mom all of his life, and we're originally from California. We moved in 2018, been with Lifehouse since 2019, and I serve as a youth leader under Pastor Paul and Sister Megan, and also kids, tots and pre-K Sunday school teacher.
Hi, Life Church, Lifehouse, sorry. You guys look beautiful. Ladies, I see you. My name is Denora Mena, and I always knew that I wanted to be a mother. I mean, I always carried the doll, right? We play teacher, mother, all that with our little dolls. Maybe some of you could relate to this, but I remember sitting on the side of my bed, sometimes crying, sometimes angry, and said, we'll say things like, this stops with me. When I become a mother, I'm gonna do this differently. When I become a mom or when I have my children, I'm gonna hug on them. I'm gonna say I love you. I'm gonna let them express themselves. The same bed on a different day, I will say, I am proud of my parents. I wanna be like my mom, full of fire of the Holy Ghost. I wanna be like my mom, who is a preacher, ministers, and evangelizes, and loves the souls. I wanna be a prayer warrior like my mother. And with what I'm saying, I'm honoring her memory today. I always knew I wanted to be a mom. I had a to-do list and a not-to-do list. So I married the finest man in this room today at the age of 23. Don't get confused, he's right there. Sorry. I married him at 23, and always, you know, and a little bit after that, you know, after living a very healthy life, being in tune with my body, everything was great. Doctors started talking to me about infertility, the word barren, the word, yeah, the devil was a liar. They talked about letters like PCOS and other stuff. And, you know, I was like, that was when I hit the floor with my knees the hardest in my life. And I was like, God, this is not for me. You better think again. Go choose another one, right? But with all that being said, he gifted me after a long fight. He gifted me the three most beautiful children that they hold my whole heart, Noelle, Lily, and Levi. And also with that being said before, you know, I wanna say that I do have a soft heart for the women that go through infertility. I have a soft heart for those that go through preterm labor. I have a soft heart for those that go through miscarriage. I have a soft heart for women that fight for the life of their child in intensive care. And I have a very soft heart for those that have to plan a funeral to lay their kid to rest. Sometimes we go through things so that we can encourage someone else. But don't let your worship, don't let that cloud anything. Amen.
Thank you. All right. So I prepared some questions for these moms and sent them ahead of time, so they're not surprised. But we'll go ahead and start with you, Monica. Monica, what is something that surprised you in a good way about having adult children?
When they were young, I never even thought about how I would relate to them as adults. And it has been such a joy to be able to have the adult conversations and then have the mutual respect that we have one to another when we talk. So that was one aspect. The other thing is that I've always enjoyed watching their accomplishments. And then as adults, seeing what God is doing in their life and how he's crafting them in the gifts and callings that he has given them. That just makes my heart real happy.
That's good. And since we're talking about adult children, Sherry has recently become a mom of adult children. So Sherry, what has been the biggest adjustment for you as your children have become adults?
not being able to tell them what to do all the time. They tell me what to do now. No, probably learning how to step back, learning how to let them make their own choices, their own decisions, and gently guide them, but don't manage their life for them. Like when they're little, you manage every single aspect. But taking that step back and just loving them and respecting them and just guiding them with intentionality.
Yeah, that's good. Stacy, what has helped you the most when you felt the weight of parenting on your own?
Number one, just remembering God has my back. I mean, in a fight, you want the strongest fighter behind you. At least, you know, when I fought in high school, that's what I wanted. Story for another time. Aiden knows all about it. But God having my back, remind myself I'm not alone. And also my community, like the friends that I had around me, it matters. You know, godly friends that would listen to me, pray with me, and can correct me because I'm not always right.
We have it recorded. That's right. That's right. No, thank you, Stacy. That's good. Community is so important. Denora, what is one thing that you wish that you could go back and tell yourself when you were a new mom?
I remember when I brought my firstborn back from the hospital, I sponge bathed them for the longest time. wipe, you're cleaned. Just because I was afraid to get him all rattled up, you know. I was afraid of doing it wrong. I was alone trying to figure things out. And my sister had to come in and help me with that and teach me how to. And that anecdote, I guess, just reminds me that I'm not always going to be their best friend. I was called to be their mother. I was called to educate, teach them, instruct them, guide them, comfort them, you know, and at some point let them go, figure it out, you know, and that's hard. But I have to remind myself, you know, so going back, I will tell that young mom, you know, soaking him is good.
Get him good and clean.
Not only for hygiene, but it relaxes your muscles and it helps them fall asleep longer and all that. But you know, with that, I'm saying.
And they're not as fragile as you think they are.
That's what I thought. I was going to break them.
Right.
And, you know, soap could be slippery and all that. But, you know, sometimes through life, that's how you feel. Like, especially when they're giving you tantrums at all ages of life. You know, you don't want to be the bad guy and stuff. So I have to remind myself, whether they think I'm the bad guy or not, down the line, they're going to thank me that they're clean.
That's right.
If all else fails, they're clean. That's good. That's good. Yeah. I'm going to go back to Stacy. So, Stacy, how, as a single mom, how have you seen God provide for you and Aiden in unexpected ways?
Okay. So, there's many, many ways. But, honestly, I wasn't raised in a church. I was baptized Catholic, had water sprinkled on me, and that was about it. Did not know the Lord. So, I came to the Lord because I was a single mom that had lost her job, was completely broke, destitute, having a nervous breakdown, honestly, because of all the weight that came on me. And literally, I walked into a church. I was 31, Aiden was 4 years old, and the word spoke to me at that moment about my situation, that he would take care of me, not to be anxious. And within a week, I mean, it wasn't even a week, I got a job offer. It's actually the employer I'm at now. And, you know, it's not to say, like, God's going to throw money at you, but, like, he was speaking into what I needed at that moment and what I really need to know. The hardest thing about being a mom is not having the support, and lots of times it's the financial thing. So he's provided above and beyond and continuously throughout the years, and salary bumps, all the things, but also the opportunity that he gave to my son. You know, I don't have a pedigree. I don't come from where you would expect things to just happen. So when we moved to East Tennessee, I threw my son onto a cross-country team within less than 24 hours. He was so mad at me because I wanted him to exercise and make friends. I didn't, you know, right away, get in it. And little did I know that, you know, I knew he was fast. I just didn't know how fast he was. And I also didn't know where I was placing him was under some coaches and leaders that were, like, the best in track in East Tennessee. And, like, just people that he was under made him physically faster, but also gave him leadership skills and all the things that prepared him to basically walk him to the point where he is, you know, running at Lee University. He's an All-American athlete, and he got scholarships and all these things, and it's not, you know, the trophies are great, but it's really the preparedness that God put us in a place at the right time, at the right moment. So it all combines. It's a chain link thing that happened. So that was not something I was looking for, but I'm sure glad God did it.
Hey, before you go, how did you end up at church? Did someone invite you, or?
Yeah. So again, I was just letting my friend know what's going on in my life. One day she said, you know, why don't you come to church? That was it. It wasn't, she spoke scriptures and, you know, laid hands and all kinds of whoop-de-doo things. She was just come. So she invited me, and I, you know, got saved. I've been serving the Lord ever since, and that was, you know, the start of my real life.
Yeah, the power of an invite, man. That's awesome. Thank you. All right, Sherry. So what is something that as a mom that you used to think was a really big deal, but now you realize really wasn't?
Oh, do I have to pick just one? Perception. Perception that I have a perfect family. All the kids were dressed perfectly. The girls had the bows in the hair, and it was brushed, and sometimes, you know, curled, and everyone just looked so. I was very humbled to realize that that is not necessary. Make sure they brush their teeth and get them here. And that's about it. Maybe take a bath every once in a while.
Please, Lord,
Jesus. But not sprinkle bath. I think, you know, how my kids behaved in public, didn't want them to be goofy, or didn't want them to act up per se, because I wanted them to just be, you know, the well-behaved children, so that it reflected well on my parenting and my mothering. And you can ask my girls, we're in Kroger, if there's a beat that drops and we want to dance around, we're going to dance in the middle of the Kroger aisle, and we don't even care. And I really think that that's how the Lord sees us as his children. Like, he is there with us, and he's going to have fun with us, and he's going to support us no matter what. And we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be there.
Yeah, it's good. All right, Miss Monica, what is advice that you would give to moms? She's going to need the mic. There you go. What advice would you give to moms who are struggling today with their house being empty?
That was really a hard one for me. I thought my children didn't need me anymore because they were my world. And when they left, it's like they don't need me. And that was hard. But I realized that they just needed me in a different way. And I've learned to embrace that part. I remember reading, and I just hit my heart so hard, that there'll be a day, it'll be the last day that you pick up and carry your child. And you won't even know it's that day, because it sneaks up on you, just like everything in life, just like they're growing up. So for me, I'm going to say embrace the season. If you have to weep and wail and shed the tears, go for it. Pick yourself up and see what God has for you in this season. Find hobbies. All the things that I said I wanted to do when the kids were little and didn't have time for, now you have time. So get them. And I'm going to say that if you have a spouse, lean into them. Because from the time that you get married to the time these kids are raised, I'm just going to honestly say sometimes we put our spouses a little bit on the back burner over our kids. And sometimes our spouses maybe don't articulate the emotional things they go through when that nest is empty also. So there may be things that you just need to readdress, the vacations you want to take, the thing, just redream your dreams with your spouse.
That's good. So go ahead and get back, Sherry. She knows where I'm going. One of the questions I asked Sherry was, Sherry, how do you keep your marriage strong while raising kids?
We go to the gym. No, we don't. he does. I don't. So Chad and I try, and we do, keep Christ at the center of our marriage. And we allow that to be the foundation of our home and of our family. And if that means we pray together, then we pray together. If that means we read books, we read books. We cry together. We play Yahtzee a lot together. We try to serve one another and stay rooted in the word so that we can hold each other accountable and support each other in that way when needed. And when I need it, he is there. And when he needs it, I'm there. And it's an amazing, wonderful balance between the two of us. And we try to make that an example to our kids of us keeping Christ in the center of our marriage and the love that we have for each other, that they can see that and that can be a foundation. It's easy to let parenting take over that. It's easy to get stuck in the day in and day out, just exhausting in all stages of life when your kids are, pulling at your shirt or, wanting dinner or wanting laundry or, whatever is needed. Doesn't matter. It's easy to get lost in that. And so don't put your relationship and your marriage on the back burner because it will be seen and it will be noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Amen. And then when you're an empty nester, he's all you got.
And we get to learn each other again.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's go to Denora. Denora, speaking of kind of how Sherry was talking about keeping Christ at the center, how do you handle the balance of endless demands of motherhood? You're also a businesswoman, and also then taking care of your spiritual and emotional health.
Well, some practical things will be going to sleep early, waking up early. I enjoy my quiet time in the morning. If for some reason that doesn't happen because a kid wakes up, mom's not really here. Remember the penguin from Madagascar? You didn't see anything. Yeah. I'm not really here. I'm not ready for you yet, okay? So I need my quiet time in the morning to, reflect, read scripture, just pray. So that time for me is a must. Some people, that's a must for the gym. That's my gym. I need to pray and face the world. You said, what was the other part?
What are the practical ways that you can keep your spiritual and emotional?
All right, well, waking up early, praying, doing that, keeping a balance, eating well. I mean, I'm not 100 on that, but at least I try. Always keeping that in mind, because all that would affect your mood on how you handle things. So whether you're eating unhealthy all the time, then you're fighting through the after effect of that. And then your kid's like, what's this? Who's this person? I ate a whole bunch of carbs an hour ago. Yeah. So it's just keeping those things in mind because it does affect your day. But spiritually talking, I commit the same way I'm intentional with everything else. I'm very intentional with the Lord and how I serve because, sometimes we like to lend God or take away because he'll understand. But our bosses don't understand and we give to them, or other relationships or other things. And I've been very intentional in not doing that to my God, to my loving Father. I want him to have the best of me. And I dedicate my morning to him. And, I try not to. I'm not perfect in that either, okay? But keeping him where he gets what he's going to, I don't take away and IOU part, And I guess it's being intentional in that.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Hey, Stacy. So, what are some practical ways that the church body and friends can come along and support single moms better?
Number one, cover them in prayer.
Yes.
Them and their kids. So remember them in your prayers. Not having a father means, there's that additional covering that's not there, so remember them. Number two, see them. It's very hard coming into a church and feeling like you're the only one that doesn't have a spouse. It shouldn't keep you away from there, but, you know, the enemy wants to poke you and, you know, focus on that. It's important that all people are here, but especially a single mom with kids, again, that covering not being there, they need to be there. So see them, make them feel welcome. If you are friends with them or aunt, uncle, et cetera, go to their kids' events. Show up one time, suck it up, buttercup. If you don't like that sport or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just being there, seeing your face and showing that I care. Matters a world to probably more to the parent than the kid, but the kid as well. It just shows that you care and someone sees them. Also, invite them. It was just one simple invitation that got me to church. So if you know some single mom in your life, whatever they're going through, whatever it may be, they need Jesus, their kids need Jesus. So just invite them and watch the Lord do work in them.
I love it. All right, Monica, what is one thing that you have learned to pray differently over your children now that they are adults?
More that they would be in tune with God. I cover them in the blood, and I trust God in the areas where I can't be. Unlike my friend over here, I tend to overstep things. Yeah, it's hard for me to allow them to fail, so I do have to allow that, and that's hard. But I just trust the Lord more with all aspects of their life, and I pray harder now, because when they were younger, I didn't always know the Lord. I didn't, and there's things now that I understand would be different had I known the Lord then and prayed differently. So I'm just thankful that the Lord brought me to the place where I am, and that I can intercede for them and have discussions with them. And then when they tell me what's on their heart, what's going on, where they want to go, then I have a much better idea of how to pray, what to rebuke, what to call forth, what to prophesy over them, and that's the difference.
That's good. Denora, what scripture or scriptures have been an anchor for you during the challenging seasons of motherhood?
Scripture in general applies to everything. So there's a lot of scripture that I lean in different times. But there is one, Psalm 139, verse 13. This I took... personally for me, where you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I always thought that of myself, like he knew me. And then Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, my son, listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching, for they are a crown of grace for your head and a chain of ornament for your neck. Again, these verses, me growing up, I would take it as a daughter. But now that I'm a mom, I have to believe that God also knit my child in my womb. And against all odds, they're here. So there's a purpose. So when it talks about teaching them, mother's teaching, have to help them find that purpose. Have to help them, guide them through it, prepare them for it. And yes, as a mother, you know, you even mentioned business or whatever, all the things that we do, my number one is for them to find that connection with the heavenly purpose of why they're here on this earth. That's our priority as a family to, you know. So those two verses, they apply to me growing up. But then I also have to believe that those verses are also for my children. Because the same way I was a daughter, they're a daughter, they're a son now. And I can't control all aspects. I may not understand everything, but I have to believe that he knit them inside of me to perfection. Mm-hmm. They are perfect the way they are.
Yes. Yes.
So as a mother, I have to learn it, and I have to teach, you know, so.
Good job. All right, we'll do one more question, everybody, and then we'll wrap it up. So as your final thought, Stacy, if you could tell every single mom in the room one thing today, what would it be?
Well, I would say whether a father is or isn't in the home is not what makes salvation for your family. Whether the father is over the home and you make him the foundation, that is what makes a difference. So I say basically live righteously, let God lead you and be your co-parent. I know it's more than one thing. But he's your co-parent, he's your father and theirs as well. If you live righteously, you follow his precepts, have an intimate relationship with him, all the other things will follow. Your kids will see a stable parent, a loving parent, and a God-fearing woman. That's what they need out of you.
Thank you, Stacy. All right, Denora, last thing. Just what is a simple piece of advice that you would give to moms who are in the thick of raising little ones right now?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, there's a question I didn't ask her, and she wants us to hear that one. So I'll, no, that's fine. You can pull it all together. All right, go ahead.
I'll put them together.
Rebuke shame and guilt. Rebuke, shame, and guilt. Guilt of not doing enough or not being enough. I gave you a glimpse earlier of what my life looked like. And there was a lot of shame and guilt for causing all that pain for my family. Disliking me and my health and my body for not being able to keep up. Or, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to say more, right? So that
we smell what you're stepping in.
Okay.
Thank
So, you know, that shame and that guilt, rebuke it. I had to learn to love myself again. I had to learn to speak life into me again. And I thank my Heavenly Father for always embracing me and loving me and such a loving husband that reiterated that I was enough, you know, and I had to learn to understand that we're not exempt of going through things on this earth, and got really rooted in the fact that God is sovereign above all. Amen. So rebuke that. That's not from the Lord. Feeling guilty for all the daycares and all the aftercare I had to send my kids to. Feeling guilty for bringing them sick to my office, under my desk, or on my the recliner in my office because I couldn't stay home and cook them a hot meal like I would want to, right? Because we have to work. Come on. Feeling guilty for those things. Feeling guilty that after a long day, I have to, like, feed them burgers because my day continues and they have to be in the back seat of the car. So just feeling guilty for all those things, it's not from the Lord. Just know that they're not asking for a perfect mom. They're asking for a good mom. There's not a perfect way, but there is a good way. I had to make some changes in my life where, practical changes, where I'm still feeling it today. They have not been easy. And I don't live a lucrative life right now, and that's okay because I'm honoring my relationship with the Lord. I am honoring my relationship with my husband, and I'm prioritizing my family now. Amen. The other thing I will say is don't compare yourself to anyone. That is also not from the Lord. Stay away from social media and all these people that Pinterest. Sorry, that came out too fast. But
Stay away from Pinterest and stuff like that. If you're going to be comparing yourself and making yourself feel bad or inadequate or not enough, or I'm not doing everything else that everybody else is doing, the devil's a liar. You know, just be present. Be present. Show up. Be there. Comfort. Hug and empower. Open the door. Push him out if you need to. Fly, swim, however you're going to do it. But, you know, like, that's what they need. They don't need a perfect mother. They don't need you to beat yourself up. You know, just be present. Just be there.
That's good. All right, Miss Monica. What is advice you would give to moms who are in the thick of raising little ones right now?
Just to let go of a lot of things. I always thought everything had to be perfect. I had to be perfect. My kids had to be perfect. The house had to be perfect. The president could walk in and it would look great. So that was part. That was a lot of it. And the other thing is, I would let go of the mishaps that go on with kids. I wouldn't take that near as seriously. The spilled things, the toys all over, the impishness in the heart of a child. I have one total impish. His nickname was Hot Legs. That should tell you everything you need to know right there. And I was a single mom for a while, too. And I had to let go of guilt as well, because I was never designed to work 8 hours and come home to second shift and think I could do that perfectly. So, like Paul, I had to just let go and put those things behind me and just trust that my kids know I did the best for them. I love them, and I did the best. And whatever my shortcomings were, they forgave me. And I really wasn't thinking of this, but it just came to my mind. I had a friend that told me that her grandmother said, every generation needs to forgive the previous generations for their shortcomings. And I'll just rest on that.
Same question to you, Sherry. What advice would you give to moms like myself who are in the thick of raising little ones?
Breathe. Just breathe. Yahweh means I am. And so when you need to draw strength from the Lord, breathe in Yahweh and exhale Yahweh. You can't say that word without saying Yahweh. It's Yah. And just breathe. Jesus is in the everyday moments. He's in the ridiculous amount of diapers. He is in the tantrums of your children screaming and crying because they didn't get the right color of sucker at the bank. He's in the dirty socks that you find in your car for some reason. He is in the dishes that you'll find in your adult children's room that you don't know where all of your dishes went. There it is. I'm just saying, if you want to know where your dishes are, go look in your kids' rooms. Some days will feel really chaotic. Some days will. That's a promise. It will feel chaotic. And it's really easy to feel overwhelmed and to feel unnoticed in all of that chaos, but God sees you. Through all of it, he sees you. And don't underestimate the holy work that is in the everyday that you're doing, because it is holy. You raising your children to be God-fearing adults and to be able to also disciple others and to help others and to serve the Lord is holy work. And even if it's just wiping a nose and you praying over them while you're wiping the nose or while you're picking up all the dirty laundry or driving them to school, just make sure that your foundation is in the Lord and he will give you what you need.
Amen. That's good. Give them one more hand. Thank you, Dawn, if you want to come on up. I'm going to do my best to wrap this up with a pretty bow. Thank you. All right. So I hope that you guys were encouraged today. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your heart. It's not easy to be the one on the stage. And so I appreciate you a lot, even those of you who were not super excited. Thank you. But I do want to close this time out with a few words of encouragement. And this is, obviously, it's Mother's Day. Obviously, we're talking about how to be a good mom or how to, you know, all the things that we're talking about. But these points that I'm about to point out are, sure, they're focused on mothers, but they are so relevant to anybody in the room. So please don't check out just because you are not a mom today. Number one, I want to say this to you. You are seen by God. Motherhood is a beautiful, exhausting, and sacred calling, like Sherry said. I have a shirt my dad got me. It says, Motherhood is Kingdom Work. And he got it to me, and I was like, oh, that's cute. And I was like, but it's so true. It's so true. And so I love that reminder. So whether you're rocking a newborn at 3 a.m., you're managing a house full of chaos and practices and chores and all the things, or you're praying over your grown children from afar, God in heaven sees you. Genesis 16:3 says, you are the God who sees me. That was when Hagar was alone and scared in the wilderness. God showed up and met her where she was. She called him El Roy, the God who sees me. Most of your work as mothers goes unseen and unthanked, but rest in this. Your heavenly Father sees you. And some of you, if you walk out of this room today knowing nothing else, know that. You are so seen. I think we live in a world where we put so much out there, right? We post our pictures and we make our statuses and we do all the things, but it is the most lonely time. In a world where we should be even more connected, we feel so lonely. So I want you to know this today, that the Lord sees you. Number two, you are strengthened by God. Let's be honest, motherhood is wearying, but God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. So when you feel weak, when you feel like you can't do it, remember, oh God, you're made perfect because I'm weak. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need to rely on God. When you feel like you have nothing left to give, He promises to renew your strength. You are not running this race alone. God is with you every step. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You hear me, mamas? You're not going to faint, all right? You're going to make it through. God has never, not once, asked for perfection, but He does require dependency. We are not intended to do motherhood alone or life in general, but we must rely on God's help. And also know that number three, you are surrounded by community. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. So sharing each other's burdens, y'all. The scripture says that if you share each other's burdens, that's the law of Christ. So this week we were at Network Council, which is like a place where we all come together as pastors across the state for the Assemblies of God. And, you know, we see a bunch of people we hadn't seen in a long time. But one of our friends was there, and he's planning a church in Knoxville. His name's Dusty. He's been to Lifehouse a couple times now. He came to Drew's birthday party and a couple different services. And he came up and he said, I just got to tell y'all. He said, because he's traveling different churches, support raising, trying to do all the things. And he said, there's no other church that has community like Lifehouse. And so I want to thank you guys for that. Like, that's a big deal. And I just wanted to honor you in that we do at Lifehouse do community great. And maybe if you're feeling like, okay, y'all say that, but I'm not feeling it, get involved. Join a serve team. We got life groups that'll start in June. Talking about the armor of God. We're super excited about those life groups. And we're doing those life groups in different areas. So we'll have one in Clinton, we'll have one in Oak Ridge. So they'll be spread out. So hopefully our goal is that you can drive just a few minutes and get to a life group on a weeknight. So get in a life group. I'm telling you, rocking those babies in that nursery, you're going to get to know the other people that are serving with you in there. Greeting doors, you're going to get to know people. And so join a serve team. And this is not why I'm saying this. But if you're feeling like, I don't have that community that you're talking about, and I want it so deeply, this is how. This is how you form that community. Also, some of you guys, and, you know, when you point, fingers are pointing back to yourself, however that is, you're okay with sharing others' burdens, right? Like, you come talk to me. Come tell me your burdens. I'll pray with you. I'll carry that load. But when the roles are reversed, when you have a burden that needs sharing, it's a lot harder. And that's, like the word says, share each other's burdens. That means you too. You share your burdens. And I think we've all experienced it. Like, when you're sharing your burdens with someone else and they're sharing, like, the weight is just not as heavy. The load is not as hard to bear. God designed us to live in community. Moms especially, don't walk this road alone. There's a village around you, your friends, your family, your church. We're ready to lift your arms up when you're tired, but we also want to celebrate your wins. Share your wins with your friends. Man, I feel like, especially in society, we have this weight that's like, we really can't say anything positive, you know, like we don't want to hurt their feelings, you know, and I understand wanting to be sensitive, but man, if you're pregnant with that baby that you've been praying for 10 years, let us celebrate with you, right? If you're prodigal, if your child you've been praying for years finally came home and you know that your friends got one that they're still praying, your win will encourage their prayers. It won't defeat them. It's not going to discourage them. Your testimony, the words of your testimony will encourage them, will lift them up. So please, Lifehouse, let's be a place that shares our wins. And in closing, for real, I just want to spend some time praying together and for each other. I feel like if we came today and we left without praying for each other, we would have missed an opportunity. So prayer team, my friends on the panel, if y'all will find somewhere to stand. I don't know what each one of you is going through. Some of you I do. Some of you I know your burdens. You've shared them with me and I appreciate that. It's an honor. Sometimes people text Drew and I and they say, I don't want to bother you, but will you pray? Y'all, bother us. For real, that's what we're here for. It is an honor for us to get to partner with you in prayer. It's not a burden. Please let us know how we can pray with you. That was just a little side note. If y'all will stand with us. Like I said, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you I do, but probably most of you, you've not shared that burden. So if you are praying and believing for a baby, maybe you're single in the room and your desire to be a wife and a mother is so strong and you're feeling that emptiness today. Maybe you're feeling alone. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed and unseen. Maybe you're praying for that spouse that still doesn't know the Lord. Or that child that's walked away. Or whatever other burden you have. We want to join with you today. We want to partner with you. We want to share your burdens. So if that's you, if one of those things is you, if maybe it's nothing I said, there's no judgment at these altars. We want to join with you in prayer. So if you would, while Dawn sings and leads, we're going to have time of prayer this morning. Thank you.
You brought me here to rest and given me space to breathe. So I'll stay still until it sinks in.
Breathing deep, all of your goodness.
praying, the altars, keep praying. But everyone else, I know it's weird, but it's Mother's Day and I'm asking you nicely. Will you grab the hand of the person beside you? Let's be in community together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so, so good and so perfect. God, we're thankful for what you're doing here today. From the opening song through this prayer, Lord, I believe that your spirit was here, and we're so thankful for that, God. Lord, I pray specifically over each and every mom in the room, God, that you be with them. Lord, that they know they are seen by you. God, that they find their strength in you and they find community in others. God, I pray as we go and celebrate the rest of Mother's Day, let us have lots of fun today, Lord, with our children. God, let the calories not count. Yeah. And let us have lots of fun. And if, and God, I pray over women's conference today or this week, Lord, that it be life-giving and fun, and then every woman who is supposed to be there will be there this weekend to encounter you. God, thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed, Lifehouse. You are loved and seen. And just a reminder about the chairs. If you want to help with the chairs, unstuff, and then help stack, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you.